I'd like to call to order the Board of Directors meeting for the Oceana Community Services District, April 13th, 2005. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
President Hill.
Here.
Vice President Mann. Director Angelo.
Here.
Director Bookout.
Here.
Director Dahl.
All the absences noted. Please join us in the flag salute. Ready? Salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Brings us to item three, board member items for discussion.
I don't have anything to discuss.
I have nothing at this time.
I do have an announcement to make, and that is that there will be a special meeting Monday at 9:30, special board meeting to, I believe, the what is the subject, Mitch? To
that's to approve the contract with Carroll Construction for the phase two of the community center.
Of the community center. So we want to make sure that people are aware of that. That will be here at the boardroom at 9:30 Monday morning. Brings us to item four, public comment. Any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. The board will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the board cannot act on items not on the agenda. We respectfully request that, if possible, your presentation be limited to 3 minutes. Max?
Max Pidio, Shannon Market. I'd like to bring to your attention the trash that Southern Pacific Railroad left on the side of the road over here on front of Highway 1. It's been there for 2 weeks. It's possible contamination. There's looks like there's tanks, there are grease tanks, there are oil tanks, and I think that maybe the fire department should investigate that. The other day, another car came by, a motorhome, and changed their oil out there and threw more trash. I told them they couldn't do that. They said, well, this property doesn't belong to you. So people just think if there's trash along the side of the road there, they just can go there and drop more trash off. I think that perhaps you should look into it. And I also suggest that we send a letter immediately to these folks, to the Southern Pacific people, and tell them to clean it up. If not, I request that you clean it up and charge them for it, because it's an eyesore out there.
And the material is like oil and grease. And if we,
I think Mr. Padilla's points are well taken. The fire chief has already investigated it. Union Pacific has been notified. They have 30 days to clean it up. I mean, that's our rules, and they have been notified. And it is not hazardous material. The fire chief has inspected it and found it not to be hazardous. It's not pretty.
Right.
Did we find out what it was? I mean, is it oil? Is it gas?
Yeah, the material is called spike sealer, and it's used for sealing the holes, and they drive the spikes into the ties.
Okay.
Are the cans full, or are they half empty?
They're all empty.
Oh. They're all empty?
All six or seven of them are laying over there.
Besides that, there's also trash bags of trash and empty boxes that are flying all over up there right now. I mean, obviously, you know, a few months back, Mr. President, you called a meeting for them to address the flooding issue we had here. I believe the County of San Luis Obispo and Caltrans showed up. They did not show up. And I think they're kind of going to laugh at us again. And I think we should follow up with a letter demanding them, not just over the telephone with these folks. We should go on record and document it that we've issued a complaint against them for the trash that they left there. Because they've been there for 2 weeks. They could have cleaned it up as soon as they left. And there's been some people that have come by there from Southern Pacific and just drive by and look at it and drive off. They don't even make an attempt to gather it up. It's spread out pretty well out there.
two things I can do. First is, I believe there's a maintenance station down at Guadalupe. I can ask them if they can dispatch somebody to maybe look after that, and or just be aware of when we see a Union Pacific truck in the area to possibly ask if they can fix that. I'm sensitive to your concern, and the occasional difficulty of contacting the railroad because their offices are in Nebraska. So, but that's, you're right, if they're doing a job there, they should clean up the material after the job is done. That should be obvious.
Good, thank you. The other thing I'd like to say is that I'd like to invite the public and invite those who are present today to the meeting for tomorrow with the Oceano Improvement Association. They've got some interesting things coming up. I believe the meeting is at 6:30 here. Thank you.
Again, that'll be 6:30 p.m. here at the OCSD board meeting, board room.
Yes.
Thank you, Max. Other public comment?
Mark Wampler, Oceano. 2 days ago, there was a meeting here, and this particular mic has a mind of its own because, for some reason, it didn't want to work. And I find that very peculiar because everyone else's mics work. I'm glad it works now. Okay. It's a little word of caution that public input is important. The mic needs to be on at all meetings. I'm going to repeat my public comment of that meeting, as I had to in a very loud voice. And this mic helps out a lot. As I continue to look into district affairs, the more it stinks and the more I tend to look away. But there is just too much at stake to turn back now. It seems to me that even before these meetings get started, some members of the board have already discussed and decided how things are going to be. Time after time, these members have shown disregard for community input. You already know what you want to do in spite of public outcry. It reminds me of the little Clannish towns scattered throughout this country back in the 50s and 60s. The good old boys were in charge, and you didn't mess with their little kingdoms or be met with retribution. You would think these little kids would have grown up by now, but this is California, where we're supposed to be more fair-minded. What would be more appropriate for some of these board members and staff is to pick up your chairs, go to the sanitary district facilities, find the nearest sediment tank, and set up your meetings there. Solid waste is processed there, and what you call district business looks just like it. And here's a prime example, this little paper depicting a phone message left by President Hill to a board member, to a staff member. I find this really disgusting. What goes on between staff and the board is not necessarily our business in many cases, but since this staff member felt it necessary, it has become our business. It's out here. Then whoever is responsible for this little paper, tell me why there is no mention by the author that Mr. Hill publicly apologized, and also the fact that the subject of the phone message was about one of our citizens who have been intimidated and harassed for over 3 years trying to develop her property. And there's one thing about slander. You can't ever really take it back. Now, any casual observer looking at this can only assume that Mr. Hill is an abusive and insubordinate individual with a foul mouth. But we in the community know better. The fact is that this majority stronghold of select members of staff and board have been pushing around this community for many years. And the only reason that any worthwhile district business has happened is that first, our president opened the door for the community. And then, and only after getting some of you in a half Nelson with the cameras and lights, do we get some constructive action. This is the good old boys at their best. You are living a delusion, and we in the community are not going to go away. We will wear you out. So, you good old boys, just plan on more cameras, more evidence coming forth to the surface until you decide it's not worth it.
Other public comment?
Pamela Dean, Oceano. And I'm also reiterating what I said on Monday night, because, again, we didn't have the microphone. And I don't think people could hear half of what I said. so I'd like to repeat that for tonight. I was shocked to see I was listed as a complainant in last Friday's TPR against Mr. Cooney in regards to Monday's closed session. I have not filed any complaint. This being said, I am aware of the circumstances leading up to the alleged foul mouth message left on the general manager's cell phone. Again, I'm quoting from the Friday's TPR. I am one of many in the community who has received a transcript of the alleged message, which, if authentic, could only have been generated by Mr. Cooney in what seems to be an attempt to discredit Mr. Hill. In this transcript, Mr. Hill is asking Mr. Cooney where my building plans are. These plans show, among other things, how and where I plan to connect to the district's water and sewer lines. This inquiry was a direct result of my connection fee request for sewer and water. The district's response was they had not seen any plans in which they could base their decision. These plans could not be found at the time and still remain unavailable. I was supposed to receive a copy. The facts relating to these plans are my attorney submitted three sets of plans for both my secondary dwelling and my three-lot parcel map on January 12, 2004. These plans were submitted by my lawyer because OCSD refused to accept any applications directly from me. In addition to the plans, I submitted two $250 checks as plan check fees, which, as opposed to others, was mandatory in my case. On February 10, 2004, I received a letter from OCSD's attorney which stated that my plans were approved by the district's engineer, Gary and Taylor. This was supported by OCSD's February 2004 warrants, which included a $120 payment to Gehring and Taylor for a review of my projects. On March 11, 2004, OCSD cashed my other $250 plan check deposit fee after all review and approvals and did so by forging my signature on the check, which I unintentionally left unsigned. They could have called me, and I would have come in and signed the check. Now that the plans have been approved, my attorney asked OCSD to issue the appropriate documents required by the county to proceed with my project. I finally received these documents on November 15th, approximately 2 weeks after the last election. This was over a year from my application date and over 10 months from the date of the district's formal review. It has now been almost 16 months, and I still have not seen my plans or the contents of Gehring and Taylor's review. This information could be very crucial to my project. These facts were known to Mr. Hill prior to this alleged phone message, and I believe explain his extreme frustration with Mr. Cooney. And I'd like to submit this for the board.
Thank you. Other public comment?
I can't let a meeting go by and not come up here and talk with you guys. How is everybody today?
Well,
my name is Mary Lucy. I live in Oceano. There's a couple things I'd like to request to the board. Is first of all, is it possible that our packets could be double-sided? I just see like it's kind of a waste of resources, and you're reviewing your budgets now, and maybe it's a good time to change to double-sided information, and it really is cost-effective, and that's an administrative item. There's a few things that I don't think that we're fully aware of is that there's a town hall meeting here. I think it's on Monday, and I'd have to refer that to you, Mr. Cooney. I don't know exactly. It's on the issue of the Arroyo Grande Creek and the maintenance of the creek, and it's known as Zone 1A. Excuse my unfamiliar language. Anyway. So I did go to a meeting over in Arroyo Grande that talked about several different proposals on how to maintain the creek. And so what I'm going to ask of you, Mr. President, is that I need a timeline because I'm trying to figure out what started the ball rolling with so much attention on the creek. And from what I can gather, just from looking around and reading old newspaper clippings and stuff, is that this big rain came down and it knocked out the levee, right? And it knocked it to the left and not to the right. And so this board, in I think 2001, had a discussion about liability and how OCSD could be liable if the levee had broke to the right and not to the left, you know, and how could you go about not overseeing the maintenance of the creek. And so a letter was sent to the Board of Supervisors, and please, what I'm going to request is a timeline so all the facts are very, very straight, is that OCSD at that time, this board directed staff to send a letter to the county requesting that the county ask the state to take over the maintenance of the creek. Now, the problem with that strategy is that there's no assessment. There's no concept of how much money this will cost us. And are there other plans and other ways of maintaining the creek and having a share of cost? Because what I can figure out is one reason why the creek's so important is that we have a sewer plant down the street. And if that levee breaks, it's going to wipe out that sewer plant. So it kind of makes sense that whoever uses a sewer plant can be a share of cost. But that was never assessed from this board. That was never assessed. So now where we're at is the public comment for the state taking over the maintenance of the creek is gone and passed.
If I might, I'll have more to say about that. The actual maintenance of the creek was never the responsibility of OCSD. Rather, it was the responsibility of the county. The county of San Luis Obispo Flood Control Department, as I understand it.
Great.
And the issue, you're correct in your discussion of the levee breaking, and there was a number of lawsuits related to that. The county Zone 11A Flood District was bankrupted by the lawsuits, effectively, and the county sought to give the responsibility over to the state. I'll have a little bit more comment about that and some meeting announcements.
Great. Back to my original question then, and I don't have to do any of that, is can just for our purposes, can we have a timeline, like how things occurred, how the ball started rolling? Because that would really help us on deciding which plan we're going to go with and going to the town hall meetings. You know, because I'm looking at letters from early on from this board. And so how things occurred and how that started, I think, is real beneficial information. And then also the last meeting, I had asked you, there had been a statement made that the fire chief for Arroyo Grande had made a statement that he would make this an all-volunteer fire department if he was to be in the collaboration, and I had asked for a letter. Is there a letter stating that he's made those comments?
I don't believe. I think I tried to correct the impression that was left at the last meeting. My understanding of the Arroyo Grande Fire Chief's comments were that they were made in a special committee meeting that was assigned by this board. And the question that was asked of him is, what would happen if financing was lost for our fire department? And so he responded to the request to discuss a worst-case scenario. He was not advocating that our department be taken to all-volunteer, non-manned station. That was not his proposal.
Thank you very much for clarifying that, because that would be horrible if that happened. So thank you.
Mark Wampler. I neglected to mention, President Hill, that I was indeed in your living room that Saturday morning when you made that phone message. I have firsthand eyewitness account of that. I knew what went down with that. I just want to make that for the record.
Thank you, Mark. Other public comment? Peggy.
President Hill, Peggy Wilson, Oceano. I would respectfully ask that future closed sessions be scheduled on evenings with regular board meetings. I realize that this may necessitate your board making an exception to its new policy of adjourning by 10 p.m. However, I think it would be a worthwhile action for two reasons. First of all, with AGP's presence, there would be a built-in record of the public's participation and comment and council's report back when you come back into open session. And secondly, the district can avoid paying the directors for an additional meeting. And I realize that there is a little bit of give and take there in terms of AGP's presence here, but I do believe that it will pencil out into the district's favor. And it keeps the board members from having to give up another evening and the public from having to give up another evening to come down and participate. So I would very respectfully request that it be done that way in the future for everyone's benefit, not least district councils. And I would also like to speak very briefly to the fact that when I spoke harshly the other night after your closed session meeting, number one, I know you all know me well enough to know that that was very uncharacteristic of me. However, I need to say that at that time I felt district council was being disrespectful of a member of the public, and that I felt I was being interrupted, that he had raised his voice. And I feel whenever anyone does that, it disrespects the process and it disrespects the chair. So I would hope that everyone can just put it in the past. I felt like y'all looked like you'd been rode hard and put away wet. And it could not have been pleasant for any of you. And so that concludes my comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Other public comment? Hearing none, we'll move on to item 5, review and approval of the minutes. We have two sets to review tonight. First is the March 23rd, 2005 minutes.
Make a motion to approve those minutes.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes of the March 23rd meeting as presented. Is there any public comment? Any discussion from the board? All in favor?
Aye.
Minutes are approved as presented. And the minutes from the March 23rd special meeting.
I'll move to accept these minutes.
Been moved and seconded to approve the minutes of the March 23rd special meeting. Is there any comment from the public on that? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carries unanimously. Item 6, Commander Basti from the Sheriff's Department.
Thank you, President Hill. Good evening, members of the board, staff, and members of the public. Martin Basti, Sheriff's Department. Just a couple of things. Nothing of major consequences, average number of arrests, and criminal activity. We are working on some new hires, and that was the result of the openings that were left from last year. So they should be on board May 8th. We're also looking at a new record system to go online on May 16th, so there'll be a new reporting. This will replace the one that was put in 1984. So a couple of good changes coming about, which will also allow us to pull some statistical records and keep better track of the activity, which helps us deploy folks where they need to be. Spring break went well, and probably that's due to the weather. I don't think there was as many people over or staying around. We didn't have as many things as we've had years in the past. So we'll start gearing up for our summer season with the daylight savings time. Obviously, we split our cars up, and we don't double up till 9 o'clock, so that puts a few more cars out in the field till later in the evening to get a little more coverage. But other than that, things are rolling along nice and smooth, no problems. Do you guys have any questions, issues, or anything you want to...
President Hill and the board, Commander Vasky stated, I'm newly transferred into the area from the Bakersfield area. Just happy to be here and ready to be a part of this, the committee meetings, and handle any issues that you may have for us. One issue that I wanted to bring up is that our area is looking at restructuring some staffing at this time to cover a construction project that's going to take place along Highway 1. So that's something that's in the works. As far as parking complaint issues, continue to direct those towards our office, and we'll handle those in as timely a manner as possible. It's not a high priority issue for us, as we prioritize by life-saving issues first and then non-life-saving secondary. So we will put them on a schedule, and we will handle them in as timely a manner as possible. That's all I have this evening. If you have any questions for me.
Thank you. I'd just like to say welcome to the area, and we're glad to have you here. There's a couple of issues that have been relatively long-standing problems. First of all, I should explain that the Sheriff's Department here handles basically law enforcement issues, and the Highway Patrol handles traffic enforcement.
That's correct.
As I understand the relationship, and as Commander Basti said, that you work together, of course, well, which we appreciate.
Right. Well, we will commonly intermix in our duties. We're happy to share resources. And
the only things that I have would be several residents have complained to me about speeding on the residential streets, especially Paso Robles Street and 22nd Street, even though the speed bumps are there, but and the part that doesn't have speed bumps, on times on the order of 5 p.m. when kind of a rush hour time, that there's heavy traffic and quite fast traffic on those streets. So possibly some additional patrols in that area would be appreciated.
Okay. We can try and arrange to have some of the high-profile times targeted. And that has to do with adjusting of our staffing. But if you have particular areas of concern like that, like on Paso Street and 22nd Street, 1700 hours, we can arrange to target something like that. If there's anything else, any other areas or target times, please let us know.
Equally, Highway 1, if the speed, I don't know when the last time a survey was done on Highway 1 regarding the amount of speed of cars going down Highway 1 to justify Highway 1, but our speed limit is 30 miles an hour. Most cars are going 40, 50, and maybe a little more patrolling in that area would be helpful, as we do have a lot of children in our community.
Okay. Dave, do you have any comment?
No. You know you're going to be in the fireworks business, huh?
Welcome.
Are there questions from the public for either Commander Basti or Lieutenant McCray? Mark?
I would just like to mention to the Lieutenant, there's another street here that's been brought to our attention, and that's 4th Street. It's a dark street. The cars speed there all the time. There's children's play there. There's no speed limit signs anywhere on that street. So he can take a look at that street also. And perhaps maybe we can do something about having the county, somebody put some type of speed limit sign there to at least hopefully deter these speeders to go through that street, because it is a dark street there with the eucalyptus trees there, and they fly through there day and night.
And there's a very bad crash up there a few weeks ago, too,
yes,
that the fire department responded to.
Yeah, I've got a couple comments. I tend to agree with Director Bookout about the speed limit. Now, if you go down Farrell, down in Rio Grande, Grover City Beach, that's 35 miles an hour, and that's full-on residential on both sides of the street. You know, we got Highway 1, and it's only 30. So now, I don't know if there's a compromise. If the consensus is to stick with a 30, oh well. But I agree. It's kind of hard to slow down coming off the bridge there. That should be revisited and talked about. Plan to have another incident happen about a week ago. Neighbor came over. He said, I need to come out front. There's some officers out and they're looking for you. And I go, okay, all right. So I go out in front. Here are three sheriffs out there, officers, and two patrol units. And the gentleman says to me, we have a suspect in the back of the unit here. And I looked at him and he says, well, he's one of the gangbangers here in town. His brothers are all in jail. The whole family are just bad seed altogether. And by the way, in the pursuit of trying to catch this guy, I kind of poked a little hole in your fence there, and I saw his bumper was scarred up.
Okay. Reports of district department heads. Do we have any comments on the reports? Some staff time was spent copying particular information that I, among others, requested. I appreciate the staff attending to those those requests. Is there any comment from the public about the written report? Any other comment from the board? Then I'll have the reports received and filed, please. Brings us to item 8, fire items. We have a proposed joint powers agreement, consideration of a joint powers agreement for emergency fire and rescue response at Oceana Dunes SVRA. Mitch, I understand you were heavily involved in this. Can you enlighten us about the proposal?
Well, this is a part of the ongoing quest that the district has had to obtain a Type 4 apparatus. As you know, we put in a grant. The grant was turned down. The State Department of Parks and Recreation said that if we withdrew our grant application, that they would, out of their budget, provide $50,000, which is what our grant request was. And the individual who sort of made that promise was transferred somewhere else, so that sort of went by the wayside. And so we talked to Andy Zilke, who's the superintendent, and with this joint powers agreement, the state parks and recreation will provide the $50,000 for the vehicle.
Okay. I have some concerns about this item. First one is there any additional funding that would come to us from the state for the commitment of response time?
Okay, at this time, there is no additional responsibility placed on OCSD on this agreement. The first paragraph basically limits our responsibility to the responsibility we already have, even if this agreement didn't exist. If there is additional responsibility, it gives us an entree into discussion of those kind of funding. But basically, the responsibility we have now is the responsibility we'll have after this assigned. It doesn't change.
So I'm not understanding. Let's say now this vehicle would allow us to respond on the beach where we cannot now respond. Is that correct?
It's that vehicle would allow us to go to places where our larger vehicles can't go. But the responsibility that we have to this response does not change. In other words, we don't have to, as we don't, if you, these agreements, these underlying agreements, which are listed under recitals one, paragraph one, are the agreements which are already in place. And Oceano does not have to leave the community of Oceano without protection to support the beach. That's basically the underlying premise of the automatic aid agreement that we already have with CDF.
So now our fire department is going to be on the beach at some extended range, perhaps, that our current vehicles wouldn't allow us to do. And what happens if there's something in the community of Oceano that happens concurrently with that?
That's covered by staffing. I think our chief can address that. There's backfill in staffing. If our guys are on the beach, there's a backfill at the station, but chief would be better to address that issue.
Yeah, chief, could you please do that?
It's a department policy of whenever we have a request to respond onto the beach. So after we cross the Arroyo Grande Creek, we have to have a crew on standby here. So all individuals that hear the page out are requested to respond to the station at that time.
So we would have, before crossing the creek, then we would have a fully staffed station here.
So you don't have to have a special license to drive it. Because we have firefighters that aren't being driver's license to drive the fire truck. So that'll help there too.
When you drive into Oceano, the sign unfortunately says Pismo State Beach, and this is our beach. This is Oceano Beach, and if we can get to a call out in the dunes, save a life in a quick response, we need to be there. There's no way in the world Pismo, even though the sign says Pismo State Beach, can get to our dunes as quick as our firefighters here in Oceano. And very important. We have a lot of people coming over from the San Joaquin Valley. We do have a lot of accidents out there in the summertime. I'm not saying it's a high accident area, but there are fires, and our fire department can be there first before CDF or Pismo or anyone else. This vehicle is a very good vehicle for our community and the people. Even accidents or something happening in our community, this vehicle will be a good response mechanism.
Okay, any other board discussion? Comment from the public?
Max Padillo, Shannon Market. I mean, it's obviously that the state wants us to be more involved over there. Now that they're going to give us a vehicle, that means that we're going to go further south on that beach and spend more time on that beach out there. Will we have enough manpower to really handle the Oceano area and handle the excessive amount of people that come in on the holidays on that beach? You almost have to be there 24 hours with these folks. They camp out there. I think that the state should have more of a responsibility. And who else is responsible for these people on the beach? They come through Pismo, they come through Rover Beach. Are they also a party to this agreement that we have with the state? I think they should be a part of this, and they should be responsible for it also, not just the Oceano people that are involved in this thing here. That was the question. Again, like I said, they come through Rover Beach, and you know that everybody that comes in this beach ends up at the Oceano area down here. So I think the state has given us more of a responsibility. And again, the question you asked, what kind of an agreement do we have with these people? I mean, do we have a liability if we don't respond fast enough and we don't spend enough time out there? I think there's got to be some more questions answered on this thing. And maybe what are they going to do on their part to help us out? Not just because they're going to give us this $50,000 grant. Is that going to be sufficient? No. All they're doing to us is making us more responsible because we're going to spend more time on that beach.
Thank you. I note that over the terms of the 7-year agreement, that's about $8,000 a year, which doesn't sound to me to be a whole lot of compensation for the time and effort spent.
Mr. Hill, Mary Lucy, I support the purchase of this vehicle, but, you know, I have to go back to, you know, it was stated, I think, in one of the subcommittee meetings, like 1.4 or 1.2 million people come through there, and they spend a lot of money in other towns, like Max had said, and I think it's, you know, it's in our nature to be responsive to the people out on the beach, but I have to go back to the 50 cents at the gate to support the fire department, you know, because that place is packed down there, and they're not spending their money in our little town here, you know. They're spending it out on the dunes and stuff, and I wholeheartedly think the fire department should be out there, and I think the 50 cents should be brought back up on how to support that fire department. You know, so we were going to survey the people of Oceano that are starving over here with no business and driving the few businesses we have out, you know, and asking us for more money, and we can't even get 50 cents per car load of, you know, people who don't know how to recreate.
Are there public comment? Peggy?
President Hill, Peggy Wilson, Oceano. I heard someone who knows a whole lot more intimately the details of these matters better than I once say that the Oceano Fire Department is one next purchase away from Nirvana. And that's what this brings to my mind. Now, before somebody alleges that it's not my desire to save lives on the beach, I would have to ask, how many times are we responding on the beach now? And because I personally have been through enough of the survey routine in Oceano, I know how it works. We decide what we want, and then we put together a survey to make it look like that's what we all agreed to. And that's not fair. It's not a good use of district resources, and it is not getting us any closer to getting on board, as we were told this time last year we'd be working toward, with the Joint Fire Resources Unit in Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande. Those guys have continued to be stand-up guys and help train our people. We have been disrespectful to Chief Phoebe. We have been dishonest about Chief Phoebe. And it's not okay with me. This does not do anything to enhance my safety. This does not do anything to make my tax dollars work in the way I want them to work. We were told that we would be focusing on getting on board with the Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach firefighters. That's where we need to be focusing. The beach is the state's responsibility. We are not responsible for that. We are spread too thin now. Our district is hemorrhaging money into its fire department because we are top-heavy. And I don't want to see any firefighters mad-dogging me. I don't want to hear any firefighters snickering around me. I don't want to hear any more of that stuff. We've got some people on the firefighting team that I really like and really respect. I think they know who they are. I really, really like them, and I really respect them. I really value their talents. I really value their commitments and their expertise. But we have some kids on the fire department who have really bad attitudes. And in my opinion, that stretches all the way to the top. And I believe, in Oceano's case, we're really too close to the tail wagging the dog. And it's not responsible. It's not a good thing to do. So I absolutely do not support this. And it is not a slam against our firefighters. But I, as a citizen of Oceano, am deeply embarrassed about the way things have been done with regard to our neighbors and teamwork.
So I would very much like to remind you that I was the guy who asked for the fire task force to be called a task force because I wanted it to actually have some teeth. And I was one of the citizens who was told that we would be working toward trying to get us on board over there. This is not our job. And by saying that, I do not advocate letting people burn to death on the beach. So I would certainly hope that that's not going to be spread around. But this is not our job. This is not in our best interest as a district. Maybe if we were up and fully funded and fully trained and not going off on our own the way we are, I would feel differently. But this business of Oceano's fire department trying to thumb its nose at the rest of the profession, it has got to stop. It's just got to stop. We're a laughing stock in certain circles. But the worst part of it is we're not staffed. We're not ready. We're not where we need to be. We're not trained to the level we need to be, and we've had to depend on our neighbors over there to help our guys. And I see our Oceano fire truck spending a lot of time hither and yon, and I see a lot of time being spent at the Grover Beach Fire Department. So let's get real. And let's do things a little differently. I want us to get on board with Chief Fiebig and get on board with the joint firefighting forces. That's what's in the best interest of our community, and that's the wisest use of our resources. Thank you.
Thank you. Other public comment?
I'm Mark Wampler, Oceano. When we first moved here back in the 60s, I remember there were three newspapers. There was the Pismo Times, the Roy Grandy Recorder or Herald, and the Grover City. There were three distinct newspapers. There were three or so distinct phone books, okay, for the five cities. That's why it was called the five cities. Well, history, we all know what happened. They all had to merge, obviously, for economic reasons, for practicality reasons. I think we should revisit what's been spoken here, that we have manpower, it needs to be joined together. I think it's a great idea. I think it needs to be revisited fiscally. And
I have never, ever seen an emergency that they have not gotten to promptly. Money for the parks, from the parks. We need money from our state park. Mary was right when she said 50 cents, and that's been talked about and talked about. And that needs to be looked at in the future. It's time that the parks contribute to Oceano. So that's something we need to continue to make sure that happens for our community and for our fire department. We got a great community. We can give our community a lot of benefits, and we are giving them a lot of benefits. Our fire department is a great benefit for our community. And yes, we do need to look at our other fire departments, working more with them. But we also have to remember, we are Oceano, and we're serving our needs of our residents here. Consolidating is a possibility, and there are things in the works looking at that right now. Time will tell us what goes on with that, and keeping all options open is very important.
I have some of the same concerns that Ms. Wilson stated. I'm concerned that if our on-shift crew is taken away by response far out on the beach and a backfill crew comes to fill the station, would those people be more likely to have, more or less likely to have proper licenses to drive the regular truck, which would be the only thing here at the time? This grant, when you look at it, this is a 7-year commitment by the district. $50,000 they're going to contribute to this vehicle. That works out to $8,000 a year, which in my judgment is very low for the commitment that we have on the beach. Also, having been a member of the fire committee, the fire task force, as you mentioned, I'm very concerned with funding for the fire department and trying to bring some of our staff to full-time level. I am reluctant to look at items that take away money that would, when we're trying to find the best way to fund the taxes, I'm sensitive to what Mary said, that people are going to be asked possibly to do a survey and have their taxes raised, when I don't believe that we've done all we can to find head taxes from people using the beach. That very much concerns me. The support that the Rio Grande Fire Department and Rio Grande Grover Beach combined departments have given our department is very much appreciated. For example, they've loaned us radios in the past. They've provided training opportunities. On behalf of citizens of Oceano, I very much appreciate that help from the Rio Grande Grover Beach Fire Department. I thank and compliment Chief Fibick for helping us in those matters. And there has been, Peggy, you're right, there has been bad feelings between some of the departments. If there's anything on behalf of Oceano Department that has been misconstrued or rude to the our joint fire departments, I would apologize for that. I hope that all of our fire departments can work together. They have a very critical public safety job to do, and they need to do it unfettered by political influence. The point was brought up about the survey that we approved a couple of weeks ago. Since then, I've seen reports in the newspapers that the proposed election that was almost a certainty at the time for November is probably not going to happen. It's becoming increasingly less likely to happen, according to the county recorder and the reports that I've heard in the newspaper. So it may be that we want to slow that down or revisit the question if the likelihood of an election becomes less in November. I'd hate to spend additional money, you know, trying to support an election that didn't happen. On this item, again, it seems to me that we're getting additional responsibility, and however you boil it down, it's $8,000 a year. And not only is it $8,000 a year, but I see that we have liability that we're going to have to put in on it. We're going to have to outfit the vehicle.
Is it an action item? I'll move that we go forward with a joint power agreement with the state of California.
I'm going to second that motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we proceed with the joint powers agreement and enter into this agreement with the state of California. We've had public comment and board testimony, so I call the question.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Bookout?
Yes.
President Hill?
No. The motion passes, and we will be joining a joint powers agreement with the state. Utility items, cleaning and inspection of the district sewer lines. This is for continual disclosure of the emergency declared by the Board of Directors concerning cleaning and inspection of the district sewer lines. We don't have Phil here this evening, but this goes back to the earthquake and the damage that was done to various district sewer lines, and we need to continue the declaration of emergency until we get the matters resolved, as I understand it, and that's what we propose to continue to do.
Mr. President, there's a technical problem with that because by code it requires a 4/5 vote, and we've only got three here tonight.
Okay.
So I don't think you can take action on that matter tonight. What I would suggest you do is put it on for the special meeting that's coming up on Monday, and it could be taken up at that time, added to the agenda for the special meeting on Monday.
Well advised. Okay, in that case, we'll table the item now and ask that it be put on the agenda for the special meeting Monday. Utility item B, desalination. I see that we have a request from the City of Rio Grande and Grover Beach, I believe, to participate in a feasibility study with them to define the scope of alternative water sources, specifically a desalination plant. Mitch, do you have information on that?
Yes. There's no question the district is well fixed as far as water goes. We have adequate supply to go to build out. However, the City of Rio Grande and the City of Grover Beach find themselves in a position that they do not have sufficient water, and the gentleman's agreement that was signed years ago indicated that each one of the signatories to that gentleman's agreement, Pismo Beach, Rio Grande, Grover Beach, and Oceano, would seek alternate sources of water. The recommendation before you this evening is to move ahead with the evaluation for several reasons. One is that the proposed site is the sanitation district plant, and we are one-third owner of the plant. The other option is that if there's no obligation past the study. I mean, they're not saying, if you do the study, you don't have to move forward to something else. We would never be able to do a study at this cost on our own if we ever had, ever decided to do any other kind of study. State water, as you know, is take or pay, and there's no assurance that we'll always get it. They could, close down the pipeline for a couple of years for maintenance or whatever the case may be, and that's, we still keep paying the bills, but we would need possible another substitute source of water. Basically, this is kind of a look-see what's going on. And as I said, they're talking about utilizing a facility, which we are one-third owner in now. If this thing did go to fruition, depending upon what the feelings of the board was at the time that the study came out, there's no assurance or there's no requirement that I'm aware of that would make Oceano a necessary third partner. We could look at it and say, okay, just as Lopez Lake has different percentages, Rio Grande has 50%, we have, 2.7% or something like that. We could, opt in for, say, 10% of the plant if we wanted to use that as an emergency source if this plant were to be built. But this is just an evaluation, and if they were talking about building a plant somewhere in the middle of Rio Grande or Grover Beach, I would be a lot more lukewarm towards the suggestion. But since they're talking about combining that with an operation which is well run and which we are a third partner of, I think that we ought to at least find out where we're going. I've included what the evaluation would include, and also some operational interfaces that we have already with these two cities, the sanitation district. I believe that we need to know what the study says.
Would not the results of the study be available?
Well, I'm sure it would be, but I'm just saying that if we would have certainly more standing if we were a partner in this than if we were just a casual outsider. Right. That's the only reason, as I said, I'd be a lot more lukewarm on this if this thing were being, developed up on James Way or something.
In a financial benefit to the community of Oceano, if a desalination plant was developed and built here on site in Oceano, and say the Napomo Mesa needed some water, would we have the right to sell them some water from our desalination?
Yes.
And that would be a financial benefit to the community of Oceano.
Correct.
And likewise, if additional water that would be part ours, we could then sell to Rio Grande or Grover Beach and make some revenue for our community that way.
One of the other issues is they're going to be talking about identifying funding mechanisms. Let's just say it costs us nothing. Let's say, they come up with some way by grants or something that they're going to build this desalination plant for zero cost to the participants. Would we want to miss out on an opportunity like that? I mean, this is for $3,300, we'll know that. know, they may want, you know, 40 minutes. I know.
It's not December 25th.
I understand what you're saying, but, you know, I just, there's just too many, you know, too many little hooks there that that gives me cause to believe that, you know, it might be worth exploring. That's all.
$3,300 does seem a minimal amount. And it's easy to sit here when we've got record rainfall this year and all the lakes and reservoirs are full and we're spilling water out of the dam and state water is not a problem. But your concern is well taken and respected that we've had many cases of dry years here when the lakes were way down and questions where state water reliability was a question. So this would provide potentially look into an alternative that might keep us going in the event of a number of drought years if that was to happen.
The $3,300, I think, is a small portion to find out where it's going, you know, what it's going to cost to do. But I think with the history of desalination so expensive, we're going to have problems paying for the water that we have with the dam repairs and the water treatment plant. Some money spent out there. I just don't know where we'd get any more money to ensure more water. And like you correctly pointed out, we do have adequate water. Oceana's probably in the best shape water-wise as anybody in the county.
Right. I think the previous actions by the board up till now has assured a good supply of water, and that was a wise wisely done with forethought by the board. So that point is taken. And let me clarify that there's no obligation if they say they decide this is a great thing and possibly it could be built with grant money or something, that there'd be no obligation on our part to.
There's no obligation past the study.
Past the study. Questions or clarification?
No, I'm pretty clear.
Public comment on this item?
Well, I can remember one desal plant, and that's about 100 miles south of us. So was it Lake Achuma some decade ago? Almost dried up, and they did a crash construction of a desal plant in Santa Barbara. I think they fired it up one time just to get the cobwebs out of it. As far as, you know, Dave was mentioning, what would the cost per gallon be? You know, we have to really average all that stuff out. So there is some a resource to look as far as a case study.
Max Padillo, Shannon Market. I kind of agree with Mark here. I think that, and Dave has mentioned the fact that other cities have looked into this, and it's been a costly situation, and they put that aside. And I think we had one here in California at one time, and that was sent to Cuba. So I don't know if the government at any time can say that if once we start this plan here, somebody else needs it, they'll just move it right out of here. Because that's what they did with the other one they took to Cuba. I think that if you want to go ahead with the survey and we don't have to pay those $3,300, it's fine.
So their land into an industrial, you know, wasteland. You know, the only thing we're missing here is, you know, that power plant up the hill, you know. Pismo Beach, I don't see them putting any sewer plant down on their beach property. So, of course, they're going to invite us to be part of the study. You know, no, I don't think we want to be part of a study. Let them go without us, you know. Go study away, you know. But, you know, I don't think we should even entertain the thought of being part of this study. And I do think it is harmful, and I do think that it cracks the door open for them to put more industrial, you know, places down here. You know, we're trying to make our community look better versus an industrial waste plant.
Other public comment?
President Hill, Peggy Wilson, Oceano. I have a few questions. I would assume that if this were to go forward, that we would be in co-ownership of this facility with AG and Grover Beach.
I think this, as I understand it, all this does is authorize participation in a study.
I understand
at which
that.
Point there. We may or may not decide to proceed with any joint ownership of anything.
But the door would be open for co-ownership status for us as a community. That was my question. Perhaps I framed it poorly. And again, who is actually slated to be paid to do this work? To whom will we be paying the $10,000 aggregate amount? Has there been...
City of Aurora Grandy is letting an RFP for the study. The scope of the study is in the back. On page 2 of the staff report.
I feel that even though I agree with you, Jim, that there have been good plans laid for our future water needs in Oceano, it's also not a totally guaranteed deal. And I think that desalination could be a very, very critical need in the future. And I think it could be something that could provide some possible economic future benefits to our community. I know that there are some folks who really think that our community will annex land and grow. This could be a key to that. It's, on one hand, a lot of money, but it's also... from another aspect, not a lot of money. And having seen a report on the phenomenal success and economic benefit that they enjoy in Saudi Arabia due to their desalination programs, I would say this is probably worth doing. I think it seems to me that it's a pretty straightforward proposal. And I don't want us to be left out. I want us to be not only in on the ground floor, but providing input. And in terms of economic benefit, heck, maybe we could sell it to Cambria. I know those folks would just kill to have a desal plant. So maybe we could just, you know, pipe some water or tank some water up there. And, of course, I'm making funnies, but... I think this is a prudent thing to do. I think that it dovetails with the past efforts of Director Angelo and others, but I single him out because I've kind of gotten the feeling that he was one of the real strong influences for support of our state water deal. And even though we've got a lot of water now and things are real green, we just don't know what the future's going to bring. And with global warming or the rumor thereof, it just seems to me that this is one of those things where I wish we had taken this same attitude and approach when we had the opportunity to merge with Grover Beach and Aurora Grandy's fire service provision. So I hope you'll do this. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Hearing none, bringing it back to the board. I'm also aware of a desal plant that's about 10 miles up the coast. Diablo Canyon gets all of its makeup water, all of its domestic water supply from a desal plant that's one of the largest, as I understand it, one of the largest certainly in the state, if not in the country. And it's supplied by a contractor. It runs 24/7. It runs very well. And there's a few.
I don't have any feelings one way or the other, real hard one way or the other, because $3,300 isn't that much money for a study. I don't know what kind of study you're going to get for $10,000. I'd be kind of leery of it.
I don't see our sewer pilots having the property there for a desalination plant, which is something we probably would get out of the study, which then where's our next location? Property would probably have to be purchased if it's going to be near the ocean or county property that we could possibly use for this. I would like to be active with our other cities, and when something comes to us, be cooperative, active, and if possible, intermingle with them. I think this is a good example of something that we can do. I particularly don't want to spend $3,000 of our money to do this. I'm kind of wondering, is the study will go on if we pay the $3,000 or not? Or
I'm sure it will.
And so the benefit to us, this is just a study. If it goes forward without us committing, we still can come in at another time.
I have no idea. I mean, you know, I don't know what the study will say. I don't know. I mean, it may become a Grover Beach or a Grandy desal plant. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I mean,
what's the status of their water tables there? Compared to ours.
Right now, Grover Beach and Aurora Grande are pumping 100% of their available groundwater under the gentleman's agreement. And they're utilizing their maximum capacity of Lopez Lake. They are basically right now against the wall. And they need to find another. They cannot sustain their build out with their current water. And this is why one of the reasons why some of this stuff is moving ahead is that there's been over the last year or so meetings with the four cities or the four entities, the three cities in Oceano, where Pismo Beach in Oceano has been very insistent that these two cities do something. Because, you know, their attitude is, well, you guys being Pismo and Oceano are not pumping the groundwater, so we'll just use it. And we're saying, well, you know, you could ask us if you could use part of our groundwater, but you just can't take it, you know, because we have this agreement. You know, and, you know, we don't use very much of our groundwater. And the reason is that we're paying for Lopez and we're paying for state water. So, you know, use as much of that as we can get. But this is one of the reasons they're moving ahead. And now, you know, where it goes from here, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, if I hear you on one hand, you say that, you know, if we're part of the study, we have some input into it, we get to, you know, we get some form of a say and sort of maybe reserve our position at the table should this thing move forward. You know, we can always opt out, say, you know, well, thank you very much, we don't have $3 million and we're not interested in it. Because we're already paying this money for, you know, the argument of Pismo Beach and Oceano has to Grover and Aurora Grande is that you're taking groundwater that costs about $400 to $500 an acre foot, and we're paying $1,100 an acre foot for state water. You know, I mean, it's not an equitable situation. And we want you to fulfill your agreement under the gentleman's agreement, and that they're coming to the table on that. Oceano and Pismo Beach have been able to convince these people that they just can't take our groundwater and you know, not do anything about their own needs. But it's been a long, delicate conversation with those folks.
Is this something we might want to table until we have a full board? I don't have any strong feelings one way or the other.
I don't particularly have strong feelings one way or the other either.
Neither do I.
I do. Yes.
Mary, I'll allow you one quick comment.
I have strong feelings about it. Look, Bill, you know, they invite you to the table for a reason. They don't invite you to the table when something's good. They invite you to the table when they need to build on your land. Just like when Pismo invited us to the table on that collaboration a couple years ago on that study. Where's Arroyo Grande going to put a desalination plant? Where are they going to put it? They don't have any water. They don't have any salt water. Pismo's not going to put it down next to the pier. You know, they have to have us at the table.
Hopefully the full board can be here.
That's the next regular meeting, right?
The next regular meeting, that's correct. Brings us to item 10, administrative items. Excuse me. Item 10, administrative items, development of a grant and construction management agreement between OCSD and OCCI. And the board had asked the staff to develop such an agreement, and I understand that you're coming back this evening with a recommendation. And Alex, I believe you were probably one of the...
I was the drafter. It's General Manager Cooney's report. I'll be happy to answer any questions that you might have when the time comes.
Mitch, would you like to lead off?
We met with OCCI. They were totally agreeable to the management agreement. It's been passed by the OCCI staff. The president of OCCI has signed the document. That's it.
Thank you, Alex.
I have one comment. You, President Hill, did point out in paragraph 9, there's a governing law and venue clause that says that if some dispute ever arose in this regarding this, the appropriate place for that action would be in the Superior Court in Santa Maria. That was sort of a shadow from a form I used to put this together. There is technically nothing wrong with the parties agreeing to resolve whatever dispute they have in Santa Maria, but it probably should more properly be San Luis Obispo. Mm-hmm. And so what I would do is perhaps recommend that if it's the desire of the board, approve it subject to making that change. You could sign an initial, and then we could take it back and have Mrs. Brackett initial as well.
Okay. This, in your opinion, this addresses the board's concerns that... For looks like it provides financial reporting and what are the immediate benefits of this?
Well, the issue here is that the original lease agreement assumed that OCCI would have all of its construction money together in one pile. They would exercise their option to lease the property, and then they would then go forward and do construction. Well, the actual sequence of events got out of sync because of the periodic nature in which they got the money and the fact that construction started before they exercised the option. So what we're trying to do here is close the gap to get things back into sync. Technically, they have not exercised the option yet, and so we need some way to control their administration of the construction on our property. And that's what this document is designed to do. They're required to comply with all of the same sorts of things that we would be required to comply with if we were constructing it, prevailing wage, public works contract, compliance. At one time, I was concerned about the possibility that they might not be doing that, but we've satisfied ourselves through conversations with their architects that they are doing that. And the action that will be before you on Monday is the formal approval of that contract that they have with the successful bidder from their bidding process that they just recently concluded. And the bids came in less than they expected them to, which was a good thing.
Any other points of clarification from the board? Any public comment on this item? Hearing none, I'll bring it back. Excuse me, I guess I'm looking for a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the grant and construction management agreement.
To be subject is...
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Subject to the change in
paragraph. Subject to the changes, yes.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we approve the general manager's recommendation that the board approve a grant and construction management agreement between OCSD and OCCI, and that the president would sign the modified the agreement as modified here on behalf of the district. Any other discussion? Call the question.
Director Brookout?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. By the Video Production and Media Distribution Services to OCSD. I understand the general manager has done a good job of negotiating the contract there and has that ready to go.
I'd move to sign the contract.
It's been moved.
I'll second that.
Moved and seconded to approve the contract. Is there any public comment on this item?
Yes. I presume we are on item 10A.
This is 10B.
Consideration of a management agreement between the OCSD and OCCI?
Yes, that was the previous item.
All right. Excuse me.
Other public comment on this item?
Yes. I'm glad the AGP is here. And I'm glad that this has pushed forward since November, fulfilling a promise by our president since he ran. That was a platform. It's being fulfilled. And I'm very thankful for that.
Thank you. Other public comment?
I can't let this go by because we have been asking the board to videotape our meetings for years and years, and we've always been told it was too expensive. So I want to thank you for getting it happening. Many people tell me they watch this and they see it, and it's surprising to me so many people watch it in the middle of the night. But I really, really want to say thank you very much. We really need this.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
Peggy Wilson Oceano. President Hill and members of the board, such as you are tonight, this is a big deal. This is a big deal for our community. And I know that the sentiments and expressions of the speakers who just preceded me are my own feelings as well. And I'm very grateful to your board. I'm grateful to staff for the time that they've put into this. And I'm also always pleasantly surprised at the number of people that I encounter when I'm out and about who tell me that they're watching these meetings. I am very pleasantly surprised by that. I salute you. I commend you. Thank you individually. Thank you as a body. And at some point, we need to straighten our picture frames. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bob Lloyd with AGP Video. I just wanted to say thank you for awarding us a contract. And if there's any problems with the video presentations, please let us know. Our number is 805 area code 772-2715. And if you ever see anything, a problem with the channel, if something's not going right, please inform us immediately. We do have, you know, a 12-hour turnover on any problems when it comes to the channel. So we look forward to more board meetings. Thank you.
I got a question.
Yes, sir.
Does your company actually own Channel 21?
No, sir. No, sir. Channel 21 is part of the franchise agreement for the county, and the county actually is the proprietors of the Channel 21. So they basically own the channel. We, by contract with the county, manage the channel. Now, we have contractual obligations between the county and the county meetings that we record, so they have their priority as far as when they air. So as far as when these meetings are aired, that's what I imagine you're leading up to, is
no,
the airing of the meetings.
I just didn't know of everything that come off of 21, your company.
Actually, everything that goes on Channel 21, I shouldn't say everything. The majority of the programming comes off. We do specialized programming like the Technical Task Force for Los Osos and for a variety of specialized meetings, government agency style presentation or videotape that we do, such as West Nile virus and a variety of other things. We also are interested in the communities as far as our community calendar. Our community calendar is a PowerPoint presentation that runs between the meetings, and they average between 12 and 15 minutes of airtime between the meetings. And so if there's any community events that are happening within Oceano, we'll be happy to include those within those PowerPoints.
Thank you. We appreciate your efforts, and you do have a lot of viewers.
Yes, so I'm always amazed. And
items. This is item 10C, consideration of policy concerning Board of Director minutes. There's been a recommendation made that board minutes is listed, is limited to action items only. Action item minutes would record only the motion on the floor and the vote, would not record other information. Mitch, you want to talk about this item?
This was requested by one of the directors who's not here this evening, so maybe we want to table it until we have a full... And I think it would be best to table it for a full board, because this obviously are your minutes. And
good point. I believe the general manager has made a wise recommendation.
I agree.
Table it, yes.
I'd like to table the item until the full board can take it up. Thank you, Mitch. Brings us to item 10D, discussion of curb gutters and sidewalks. This was going to include originally, I believe, a report of the Community Enhancement Committee, and both members of the committee are not here tonight. So we can, I guess, proceed with public discussion, or we could table the item at the preference of the board.
It might be. If they're not here, they should be tabled.
The chair of the committee did ask that it be tabled, but she didn't. And
then I think we should table the item until the committee's present. Okay. Brings us to item 11, reports of district representatives. I attended the Zone 1 and 1A special task force meeting on March 28th. I believe it was March 28th. And the task force was set up to facilitate taking over the maintenance of the creek by the Coastal Resource Conservation District instead of the state. So there are moves afoot to try to take back. Wouldn't be take back. I think what's going to happen with the Zone 11A is that the state will proceed, because there is no viable local entity currently that is willing to take over the project. However, there is, or is capable of taking over the project right now. However, the Coastal Resource Conservation District is interested in doing so. They need to explore several items before they can proceed, liability being one, ability to manage the project, a number of things. So the special task force has been constituted to review a number of issues related to that. They got some goals established, a mission statement, and they're going to try to break that down into some action items that can be followed to possibly set the Resource Conservation District up to take over from DWR at some point in the future. But it's virtually assured that DWR will go forward and will take over this project for some period of time, at least until the local agency is more capable of taking over the project in the future. There's two meetings that I like to announce to make sure that everyone, especially in the Zone 11A district, which is in general most of the land south of Highway 1 up to Pier Avenue, most of the residences south of Pier Avenue except the very front line residences on the beach, and also across from Halcyon. I have a map which we'll try to post in the window of the district office if you're concerned whether or not you live in the area. But potentially, if you live in the Zone 11A district, you could be hit with dramatically increased fees from the Department of Water. Law states that the residents and property owners of the Zone 1 and 1A district would be the ones directly assessed, nobody else. So those assessments, again, could go up by perhaps 100-fold if you live in that portion of the district. Annual assessments would increase by a factor of 100 or more. So if you're paying only $5 worth of your property taxes right now for flood control items, that could go up to $500. It would be a significant impact. The town hall meeting, well, this is again April 28th. Thursday, April 28th, 6 to 9 p.m. here. They'll go into how this happened, next steps that the DWR, Department of Water Resources, will take, financial implications for property owners within the flood control district. They'll go over the options that are being explored. Again, the Resource Conservation District is endeavoring to get set up to possibly take this over from DWR at some time in the future. They believe that they could do that at significantly reduced cost. And finally, what you can do as a resident. So that's a very important meeting Thursday, April 28th from 6 to 9 p.m. If you need further information on that, you can call Julie Thomas at the Resource Conservation District. Her number is, of course, area 805-772-4391 for further action. And I have a draft of a handbill that they're going to try to pass out to all the residents and businesses in the zone. And when they finalize this announcement, then we'll have copies posted in the front office, and they will make an effort to distribute those to all the residents of Zone 1 and 1A. So that's my Zone 1 and 1A report, if there's any questions.
I'd just like to mention, this is something that's very important to our community, and anyone in the community that might be affected by it should be at these meetings. This is a very costly thing to our residents of our community, and there needs to be a lot of input. We're not talking just a little bit of money. It's a large amount of money. So community participation is needed.
Okay, any questions or comments from the public?
President Hill, Peggy Wilson, Oceano. I've been very impressed with
your immersion into this issue. This Zone 11A issue is going to be a big, hot, ugly thing, and I want to thank you for the obvious amount of time that you've put into this, and you articulate the issues well, I think, and you've done our community proud. I'm glad that we're on board at this point in terms of someone being able to voice things the way you are. And I very much appreciate that, Jim. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Vice President Mann is not here tonight. Director Ingram?
We had kind of a short fire committee meeting. We're up to 207 calls for the year. We already talked about the joint power agreement tonight here. We talked about it at the fire committee. Mike brought us up to speed on the federal grant that we're going for, some of the things that we're going to be asking for. And there was another grant that I was really kind of surprised about. I'd never heard of it, and I'd be surprised if anybody in the room has ever heard of it before, but it's a grant that's put out by Tums, the anti-acid tablets, and they're actually offering a grant for fire departments that we're going to try to participate in this year, which I don't know where that comes from.
maybe Tums puts out the fire in your building.
I don't know. I don't know. And Mike also announced that the Fire Association is going to have a pancake breakfast. And what was the date on that?
It's May 14th.
May 14th.
May 14th, and will that be here? Be here May 14th at what time?
9 o'clock in the morning.
9 o'clock, May 14th.
And I don't have anything more unless Bill has something to add to it.
Just the pancake breakfast. This is something that I have pushed Mike for since I've been on the board, and I think it's going to be a good thing, and I want to see a large turnout in the community. It's how many eggs, Mike, do we need from our we had a look at eggs or something like
that. Just generally get some information.
Thank you.
We're going to bring the community together at this and enhance our fire department within the community.
But it's not to generate support for the survey or the creation of the ballot measure or any of that stuff. So if I come, I won't be hearing that kind of discussion.
Come on down.
Okay. Back to what Director Angelo talked about, the Tums thing. This is kind of a tidbit of information. Interestingly enough, when I went through the leadership program that the foundation puts out in San Luis Obispo County, one of the things that we did was take a tour of the San Luis Obispo Fire Department and get to know all those folks. And the nexus is very direct between Tums and the firefighters. Because what we learned is the incidence of ulcers and stress-related heart disease is horrendously high among firefighters. And I'm saying this not just because it's an interesting piece of information and it's not just a trivial piece of information, but because it offers people a chance to remember to offer prayer and treatment for our firefighters. Because if you've never lived with a firefighter or been a firefighter, you just don't know the physical and emotional toll that is taken each and every time the tones sound. And there have been studies, and I'm sure are ongoing studies, looking for alternatives to sounding the tones in firehouses where we have guys sleeping like we have. They're experimenting with different ways, like raising the lights gently or finding better ways to wake them up, because when those tones sound, these guys just go into full battle mode, and it takes a huge toll on their bodies. And that's why Tums offers grants to guys like us. So a little bit of information, and little opportunity for the community to know how to care for and support their firefighters. Even guys like me who stand up and speak very pointedly about issues separate my position from issues from my care of our individual firefighters and our firefighters as a group. So anyone in the community is free at any time to join in for prayer and support for our firefighters and other public safety personnel. Thank you.
We are very grateful for the efforts of our firefighters. That's it. All there? Bill?
Parks and Recreation. Sent a letter to our supervisor, Cacho. We've established three possible park sites here in Oceana for a park and have looked at them. One being a site where we could possibly have a baseball field here in Oceana. These sites are on the east side of town, away from the west side of town, where the children would have to cross Highway 1 to get to the opposite side, making it much more safer. We're moving forward with that. This is still in the beginning stages, but all three sites are decent sites. I'll have a little more information as we go on. As far as the airport goes, currently the airport's shut down. The repaving project is taking place down there as we're speaking. You've seen a lot of trucks drive through Oceano. I've never seen as many trucks hauling stuff in and hauling stuff out since I've lived here in Oceano, so there's a lot of stuff being removed from our runway and then probably being reinstalled at the same time.
They're buying OCSD water.
Are they buying OCSD water? Good. We charge them good, aren't we?
Well, we're charging them.
Okay, any questions, comments for the directors? Director Dahl is not here this evening, so we'll delay his report to next meeting. Brings us to item 12, general public comment. Any member of the public again may address the board on any item of interest. Mark?
Yes, President Hill. Since Directors Mann and Dahl were not here, I would like to report that our last special committee meeting on the subject of curbs, gutters, and sidewalks met with overwhelming support for choice within just less than one short hour. We disclosed the findings of different documents that supported the, as we discovered the history of the ordinance, the alternatives to the ordinance, and overwhelming.
I understand, and please correct me if my understanding is an error, that you did address any redress or, in other words, the venue, the place of venue, should there be a problem?
Yes, that was.
This is back into San Luis Obispo County?
Yes, that was corrections made.
Good. I appreciate that. I also would like to point out that a considerable amount of district resources, staff time, district resources in terms of waivers and possibly water, and that sort of thing, a substantial amount of resources have been put into this effort, specifically into OCCI and on OCCI's behalf since 1997. But I don't know that there has been an accounting for that, and I know that it has been an issue that's been raised before. And I believe that the district ratepayers and those of us who pay taxes here are within our rights to ask for that. And even though my request is not in writing tonight, I would hope that you would hear it and honor it and make that request official on my behalf. And I would like to see an accounting. I do understand that there was a board action to waive administrative fees on OCCI's behalf. However, I don't believe that that accounts for the amount of staff time over the years and the amount of district resources that may or may not be publicly known. And I very much think that it is in the interest of everyone in the district to have an accounting for this very costly program, because it's my feeling, and I know this is shared by others that I've spoken with, that we wouldn't be facing the critical issues that we are at this time had better decisions been made on behalf of this community and had better prioritization taken place with regard to how this board, this past board, asked for our CDBG funding to be used in this county. This has been a very iffy deal, to my very direct knowledge, for a long time. And I know that you will understand and forgive me when I say that this doesn't really tell me what we get. I don't see that this really gets me anything that replaces my park. I don't see that another document is going to make me any safer or the district any safer, because we already had a lease agreement that just was basically ignored, like so many other things have been ignored on behalf of this project. And the future costs of this project remain looming and large. And I just don't have a lot of faith in a document that purports to be a contractual agreement, because I have tried very hard over the years to see that the rules were complied with on this project, and they haven't been. And that's a matter of public record. Likewise, as a matter of public record, should all the doings of OCCI be. Several people who are not here tonight, well, Pamela Dean is here, and I want everyone to know that Pamela Dean and I filed an appeal and asked for a hearing and got one at the Board of Supervisors. And we raised issues that really needed to have been looked at with regard to this project and weren't. And I can tell you, as a member of the Oceano Halcyon Advisory Committee, that the project referral for the Oceano Community Center never reached the committee. It was intercepted by those who controlled the committee at that time and who also represented the OCSD and who also had represented the OCCI. This is a heartbreaking long over the years. And I can help you reconstruct some of the record. This should all be a matter of public record, as should OCCI. People fought very hard to get access to OCCI's meetings, and we've been treated dreadfully there. Dreadfully. I've personally witnessed physical threats. I've witnessed a lot of things that no one in a community should have to witness. And so if you could carry forward with my request that we have a full and complete and accurate accounting of what the OCSD and the community has actually put into this over the years, I would be very, very grateful. Thank you.
Is that request one that we can
No, that would be on an agenda, because we'd have to be taking action on a non-agenda item.
Okay, may we possibly put that on an agenda for another time? That might be properly addressed at the special meeting on Monday.
Special meeting.
At your decision. Any other public comment? Hearing none, we'll move to item 13, which is board member items for discussion.
Dave, yeah. I don't have anything.
No.
I have nothing else. I would again reiterate the Zone 11A public meeting. If you can attend, you will be given probably a handbill. If you live in the Zone 11A district, they're going to try to distribute those door-to-door. We'll have it available again in the district office as soon as the thing is finalized. The meeting will be Thursday, April 28th, 6 to 9 p.m. here.
The April 18th meeting, what time is that?
I believe that's also 6:30.
Okay. Excuse me.
All
right, this coming Monday?
Yes.
3 to 5 p.m.?
3 to 5. Oh, I'm sorry. It's 3 to 5 p.m. Thank you very much, Gina, for the correction. And that's the regular Zone 11A meeting. Item 14, consideration of the warrants.
I'll move that we pay the bills.
I'll second that.
Been moved and seconded. I had questions on there. Yeah. On the director payments, I see did Director Dahl get shorted on his payment? It looks like the rest of the directors were paid for the meetings they attended, but it doesn't look like Director Dahl was.
If you look at the register that is dated April 7th, you'll see that he received his two regular meeting payments on that register.
He received them in advance of the other check.
Is there a reason for that?
He requested it, and we've always honored directors' requests that they request to be paid for work they've already done, not work that they will do.
Okay. All right, it's been moved and seconded that the warrants be approved. Is there any public comment on that? Hearing none. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Unanimously approved. Is there any written communication?
No
written communication. Then I guess we're at the end of the agenda. I look for a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.